Blog Talk Radio.
Need a healing for your soul? How many are looking in expectation for God to do something new in your life? Truly, I thank God for being here. I thank God for each and every one of you. It is November the 5th, and good morning to each and every one of you. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are in the month of November, and it is daylight savings time, which daylight savings is around the corner. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, and certainly we honor our co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, who presents outstanding lessons, and certainly you will hear from her on next week. But we have a special theme on this morning. We have a spirit-filled show as usual. And just to make some announcements, Sunday is daylight savings time, and we will gain an hour, so clocks will go back. And, of course, as you have studied, been noticing that it's getting darker. So this is the time of the year that we take our clocks back. again, keep Amazing Grace Ministries in your prayers, because in 2023, certainly, we will be doing some new things, and we are under construction. And again, I want to thank each and every one of you that have donated to Amazing Grace Ministries. You have helped keep us afloat, keep us moving, and keep us in the right direction to do the will of the Lord. And certainly, if you have anything or you want to bless this ministry, just give me a call. And to all of you that have supported us, we appreciate you and we thank you. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree a blessings onto you, especially as we begin to close out this year. We are in November, we are in Thanksgiving month, and of course, December is Christmas month when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And if you've been blessed for listening to this talk show, listen to this radio, I need you to give me a shout out. I need you to give me a call. I need you to text me 309-750-7584. Certainly, and just let me know. Normally I say my email address, amazinggraceministries@gmail.com, and that's amazing, A-M-A-Z-E. And Grace Ministries at gmail.com. We are on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. However, it's 2 months in the year, so we will not be on the air Christmas nor New Year's. So, and then we will come back into 2023 refreshed and ready to go. Praise the Lord. So the link to this talk show is http://tobtr.com/s/121-64071. And certainly I sent those of you that got my text this morning out the link. So you can hit that link and go straight to the lesson even now and after this lesson is over. So let's get to the lesson. Let's get it in. So the Bible does not specifically link physical healing and spiritual healing. Sometimes people are physically healed when they place their faith in Christ, but that is not always the case. Sometimes it is God's will to heal, but sometimes it's not. The Apostle Paul gives us the proper perspective. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have what we ask for. 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15. In every aspect of life, his life, man is dependent on the Lord, God alone. We have a word on today to captivate your mind, to illuminate your heart, and to lift you to a greater level in Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to greater peace, to greater hope, closer to Jesus as we prepare for the upcoming new year. This month is November, and certainly the theme for this month is bringing holiday healing, bringing holiday healing. And the lesson for this first Saturday, if you didn't get my intro, is walking in my healing. God has given me a theme on this month, and that is healing. Healing, healing, healing. We have a principle. We have a principle in God to know that if we stand on the word, he is faithful and just. So let's go to the word, Matthew verses chapter 15, verses 22 to 28 reads, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered, said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, hallelujah, saying, help, saying, Lord, help me. Ah, there's blessings in worshiping the Lord. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, trust truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we got to worship God in order to get what we need and get what we want. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about some things. The word heal or healing means to make a solid, make soul, make solid, make whole. It in the Bible, it means restoration of health, making whole or well, whether physically, mentally, spiritually. In the Old Testament, the Lord Yahweh alone was the source of all healing. And certainly if we as the believers would really be honest, he's still the source of our healing today. The Bible often offers much help in understanding God's ability and purpose for healing. First, it is clear that God can heal any way and at any time he desires. He can heal ministries, Matthew 8:13, or after a period of time, Mark 5:5, a woman praying for 12 long years just touched the hem, hallelujah, of Jesus' garment, the fringes, if you will. Second, the Bible reveals that God sometimes chooses not to heal in this life. Mm-hmm. So in essence, when we look at more on the text, the psalmist, if we go over to 100, Psalms 103:3 says, who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? His response is, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. It is the Lord who heals. The privilege of physically healing is governed by the will and sovereignty of God. The Lord God heals whomever he wills. It is his sovereign choice. Man has no basis for demanding that God interferes and intervenes and heals him of any illness. Ignorance and presumption of sinful men is a sharp contrast to the sovereign grace of God. God's word is never failing remedy in every area of our life, including help. As children of God, we are to incline our ears to his sayings so we can have life and health. When Jesus was on the earth, he was the will of God in action to bring life and health to people. Jesus said healing is the children's bread. That means healing belongs to God's children. Our heavenly Father already provided it for us. If you are born again, then you are God's child. And according to Jesus, healing is your bread. It is your daily bread, and you can partake of that bread right now. Healing is a provision that belongs to us from our Heavenly Father. Like bread belongs to a child from his earthly father, but healing also belongs to us based on our rights and privileges of our blood-bought inheritance of Christ. And I so often talked about us being joint heirs. we're joint heirs to the promise. Why are we joint heirs to the promise? Because Christ died on the cross for us. And because Christ died on the cross for us, we are entitled to sit if we have been adopted into the royal family. Now, that is, of course, a choice. That is a choice that God gives us to be adopted over into this royal family, meaning I have sacrificed, meaning I have confessed my sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have accepted him as my Savior. Now I'm saved, and because I'm saved, I want the Lord to fill me with his ever-loving presence. That's the Spirit of God. And now, once I've gone through that process, I have become joint heirs to the King. Now, I'm not going to be here long. I got 3 points. This is a monthly series, and I'm going to do part one, and we're going to get to part two on next week. But we need to begin to walk in what God has given us, that authority to be healed, that authority to know that God's will to be done in our life. Mm-hmm. So the 3 points I want to make today is healing is our family right. Healing is our legal right. Mm-hmm. And healing is our redemptive right. Praise the Lord. So let's get to point one. Healing is our family right. The day we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there you go again, there I go again, we become children of God. That makes us part of his family. Therefore, healing is our family right. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Father God in heaven. You know, our Father, the prayers of Jesus said, you pray, when you pray, say, our Father. Mm-hmm. The Father in heaven has become our Father. God is our very own Heavenly Father. Therefore, healing belongs to us because we are his children. So, healing belongs to us by the right of our inheritance in God's family. Now, how does God father us? Let me tell you a few times. He is committed to us. Psalms 27:10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Oh, God will receive me. He will never leave me. He said in the word, he will supply all of our needs. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his, and all these things will be given unto you. Matthew 6:25, 32 and 33 verses. Now, I'm going to move on. If you want these scriptures, I'm going to have to ask you to text me. He champions us, a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows. God is God. God in his holy dwelling. God is for us. He trains us, the Lord's disciples, through his love. As Father and the Son, and the Son he delights in. He knows our troubles. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. And certainly these are all scriptures found in the Word. He feels for us. As a father has compassion over his children, so the Lord has compassion over those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. He carries us. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the dust. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reach this place. And of course, that was found in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30 and 31, and that's talking about how God took care of the children of Israel in the wilderness. And certainly if we look back over our experiences, if we look back over the things that we've gone through just in this year, we have only 2 months left in this year. And certainly if we look back over this year, I can testify, and I know that you can testify, that there are some things that you went through. There are some things that you've gone through. But if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we wouldn't have made it. There have been some healing of our emotions, healing of the grief that we have experienced, healing of those things that seem to would have taken us out. But God, in his infinite grace and mercy, provided for us. Oh, he fathered us. He took care of us. He wiped away our tears when we were sad, when we didn't know what way to go. Oh, he took care of us. He also encourages us. He loves us, and by his grace, he gives internal encouragement and good hope, and he encourages our hearts. You know, oh, when our heart is broken, they used to sing joy cometh in the morning. In the midnight hour, there's tears and frustration, and you may be crying all night long, but look like in the breaking of dawn, joy comes. In the middle of your pain, in the middle of your frustration, in the middle of the things that you think have out of here, here comes joy. He provides us with an identity. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family is in heaven and earth, derives in its name. He promises us a rich inheritance so that you are no longer a slave but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. Now, we talked about that. And here's the scripture, Galatians 4 and 7. Everything that we talk about on this blog is backed up by scriptures. And you can take that to the book, because we're only dealing with the book. We're standing on the book. We're standing on the word of God. Healing is your legal right. Healing is our legal right, because the new covenant is a legal document sealed by the blood of Jesus. Now, when we go to Hebrews 6, 8 and 6, it reads, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hebrews 12 and 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood sprinkled that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So when we look at the blood of Jesus, if we look in the Old Testament, we remember that Cain slew his brother Abel, and his blood reached out to heaven, and it spoke to God so that God went looking for Cain. And of course, now this scripture is saying, we got a stronger covenant. We got a stronger blood that speaks, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. It speaks stronger than Abel's, because the blood of the Lamb of God was shed for our sins. Hebrews 13 and 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of sheep, through the blood of everlasting covenant. What's that saying, Dr. Carey? The blood of Jesus Christ has brought about a new covenant. The blood has washed away our sins. Now, in the Old Testament, God gave a covenant, which is an agreement between him and his people, Israel. Covenant is divine. In Hebrew, as berit, B-E-R-I-T, an agreement between two individuals that forms a relationship. In this case, an unconditional agreement between God and mankind. The word is used to refer to God's revelation of himself in the way of promise or favor to man. Thus, God's promise to Noah after the flood is called a covenant. A covenant. Genesis 9, Jeremiah 33 and 20, he calls it my covenant. We have an account of God's covenant with Abraham, Genesis 17. And a covenant of the priesthood in Numbers 25 and 12. And a covenant at Sinai, on Mount Sinai. So you can see throughout the Bible, God has made a covenant with his people. There was a covenant that God made with David as well. So when you look at the line of succession, when you look at generations, when you look at from Abraham to David to Jesus, God made us a covenant. In conformity with human customs, God's covenant is said to be confirmed with an oath and to be accompanied by a sign. Hence, the covenant is called God's counsel or oath or promise. Mm-hmm. The covenant, God's covenant consists in the betrothal of a blessing. Now, meaning that God, if you follow God's commandments, if you obey God's will, if you do follow the rules, I won't say rules, but if you follow the covenant agreement, or if you follow, do right, if you are free, live a life free from sin, then God has promised to bless you. That's the covenant with Israel. But we know through the Bible that Israel did not always follow what they were supposed to do. We recognize that every time God said, walk upright before me, then something would happen, or a judge would die, or a righteous king would die, or a king that was evil in God's ways will come on the throne, and the people would sin. But God wants us to be faithful to him. So therefore, that covenant between him and us, our part is to walk upright before the Lord. The new covenant guarantees us everything that Jesus secured for mankind at the cross, and that includes divine healing. Matthew 8 and 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Elisha, the prophet, saying, himself took infirmities and bore our sickness. Sickness. Devil is a lie. 1 Peter 2 and 24. Who is our own self-bearer, our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Legally, Jesus suffered on the cross as our substitute, so we can be free from illness that attack our body. Therefore, we have a legal right to divine healing through the new and better covenant ratified by Jesus' blood. Jesus took our infirmities and our sicknesses. Therefore, we can come to God with great boldness and confidence and the authority of the written word that we have redemption from the cure of sickness, and we can refuse to tolerate the symptoms. We have the whole armor of God, and the shield of faith protects us from all fiery darts of the wicked. Jesus is the high priest of our confession, and we hold fast to our confession of faith in the word, and we stand immovable and fixed in full assurance that we have good health and healing now in the name of Jesus Christ. The last one for today. Healing is our redemptive right. Redemption is a biblical word means purchase or ransom. Historically, redemption was used to reference to the purchase of slaves' freedom. And, of course, African Americans, we know about slavery and redemption. As a slave was redeemed when the price was paid for his freedom, God spoke of Israel's deliverance from slavery in Egypt in this way. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. Exodus 6:6. The use of redemption in the New Testament includes this same idea. Every person is a slave to sin. Only through the price Jesus paid on the cross is sinful person redeemed from sin and death. Healing is also our redemptive right because it is included in Jesus' redemptive plan. Jesus provided divine healing on the cross in his death, burial, and resurrection. Just as he provided remission for sin. Therefore, we also have a redemptive right to divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, healing. Let's go to the word. Isaiah 53:4-5. It reads, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. I love this one, y'all. Come on, y'all need to be praising the Lord. But he was wounded. Hallelujah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. And certainly when we come around Christmas time, we hear that, or is it Christmas? Might be Easter when we celebrate his death and resurrection. But the key thing here is that we have a right to healing. So when we look at the healing ministry of Jesus, in the New Testament, Jesus is the healer. It is important to note that Jesus healed diseases. He dealt with incurable diseases from birth, long-suffering illnesses. With the expectation of two verses, the writer in the Gospel and the Acts use the Greek word therapeutical, and I want to say therapy, but it's therapeutical, and it is used almost 40 times, and is meant to heal. It's used to describe, and we certainly in therapy, we get the word derived therapy, and it's T-H-E-R-A-P-E-U-R-O, therapeutical, thank you, Lord. And it's used 40 times, and it's meant to heal. And it's used to describe the miraculous healing that Jesus brought. Hallelujah. And healing is an important part of the ministry of Jesus. And certainly when we look at it, Jesus went throughout Galilee healing, teaching, preaching, and teaching in the synagogues and letting people know that they have a right to be healed. And along that way, there are many instances where God, where Jesus' ministry, he healed the sick. And certainly he also taught and preached. And when he taught and preached, he gave a better understanding of how we are to live. And so Jesus went about healing. He went about teaching. He went about healing every kind of sicknesses, because in essence, we have a right to God's healing. And sometimes God may not hear us, but when we look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, that quotes the verse that Isaiah 53 and 4, we see the suffering servant of the Lord is fulfilled in the Old Testament prophecies. His healing ministry, the healings gave evidence that he is the anointed of the Lord. This is a necessary element of his work, his messiah work. This is why he was able to heal on the Sabbath day, as the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, "Why are you healing on the Sabbath day?" But because he was authorized to do it. Now we have to understand that we are in the family and we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And because God has redeemed us from slavery, he's made us a new nation and he's given us a new land. Likewise, we have a new identity in Jesus Christ, and we are no longer captive to sin and death. Instead, we have become citizens of God's kingdom, and thereby we can live with the anticipation of healing. But not only that, we can live with the anticipation of one day leaving this world and receiving in our heavenly home. But until that time, we still have the ability to be healed by Jesus Christ. And because he died on that cross, we have that authority. We have that promise. We have that among us. We can say without assurance or without a doubt that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Truly, hallelujah, we have the power. And I'm going to leave you with this. Therefore, every born-again child of God has the right to receive healing based on Jesus' redemptive work on the cross that says Jesus bore our sicknesses and infirmities. We don't need to bear them. Let's continue to bear. Let's not continue to bear what Jesus already bought for us. You restore me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit, and I suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pits of destruction. You have put all my sins behind my back. Isaiah 38, 16 and 7. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity, this time to come before you. I thank you, God, for this time of those that have been on the line, however some have left. But Father God, we pray for them. We pray for their strength. We pray, God, that you continue to bless them. We pray, God, that you move forward and heal and deliver. God, in our expectations, we're looking for healing. We're looking for deliverance. We're looking for you to do a new thing in us. Heal us, Father God. Heal us of all our infirmities, Father God. Oh, it's by your stripes we're healed, and we're standing in faith to know that we're able to be healed. This is your promise. Hallelujah. We thank you in Jesus' name. God, if there are any among us that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, we pray, God, that you forgive them of their sins, Father God, that they may confess their sins and accept you, Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, be blessed. Hallelujah. Be blessed. And we'll see you all next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.